Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday, live in Atlanta, SEC Media Days 2025, our coverage, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and we're excited to be joined now by the voice of the Commodores, Andrew Allegretta, who's here with us, live and in living color.
What's going on?
You know, just talking about football and all that stuff.
Cookies,
getting free cookies. We've actually enjoyed discussing football and not
NIL
and schedules and playoffs. And I mean, we will, but it's been nice to do that because we started earlier this morning sitting down with Coach Lee.
Yes.
And walked away from that going like, man, I'm ready to go. Let's just, you know, you feel the belief. And then Diego comes through and Randon comes through. And it's just like, there is the true buy-in with this program right now, which I'm not saying wasn't there in years past, but it feels different than it has in years past.
I mean, you guys tell me.
Sure.
By compared to anything that I have seen, there is certainly a different buy-in. I don't think Clark's belief that the program could be very good has changed. I think Clark had a really good sense of self from day one. I really do. But he just has the horses that make the whole engine go in a different way. I can't imagine that the heartbeat that this program has now is the same as the heartbeat the program had 10 or 20 years ago. I'm sure 100% that that's accurate.
Well, and it, like, I go back, Bobby Johnson had a buy-in.
Yeah.
Bobby Johnson had to deal with basically a lot of things.
Everybody's circumstances are different.
Sure. Franklin kind of played the game maybe a little bit better than everybody else did. Mason inherited nothing and had to build from nothing. And then Clark kind of got the same thing.
Right.
But the difference is there's a much bigger buy-in above.
Structurally.
Yeah.
Yeah, from athletic director to chancellor.
Right. And so you're seeing that. And one thing he said in, you know, I'd be curious of how you view this because you saw it from the outside for so long of the, oh, same old Vandy. It's not 100% gone yet, but it's going away.
So I'll tell you a story very quickly. I just remember when I was very early on in this job, I was talking with some people about the construction that's about to happen, this, that, and the other thing. And I got a lot of the same sort of stuff where it's like, oh, I'll believe that building when they open it.
Yeah.
And I would have to tell the person, my man, my office is in a construction zone. I actively walked through a construction to get to my office. So I certainly knew that it was all very real. The timeline, you know, I'm not a construction person at all. So I would never step into the timeline of anything. But I don't hear the same. I don't believe that this is never going to happen or that's not going to happen or whatever. I mean, there is going to be, when you have been expecting one thing for so long and it just can't happen from a fan base perspective, for whatever reason, I have no idea, it hurts. There's emotional baggage there, and I get the restraint to believe, but you can tell very slowly over the past year or so that the grip to not believe is like getting loosened. People are loosening their hands on that rope a little bit. And it's been fun to watch that.
My late father liked to make the joke that they would, and he, lifelong Vanderbilt
fan,
liked to make the joke they'd get the check from the SEC and build another science building.
Yeah.
Those days are gone.
Well, I worked at a place, legitimately, while I was there, and it's the first team on Vanderbilt's schedule, Charleston Southern. While I was there for 1 year, every guarantee game they got in basketball was taken because there was an admission shortfall and dropped off over at the university. So they didn't get a nickel from all of these games that they were going to do. So I respect that that happens. The phraseology that I put on it that I learned very early, and I get it. I mean, heck, I was there for the UNLV game. I get it to an extent. Was emotional scar tissue. Like, it's just built up. It is. It's there. Yeah. It's totally there. And I get every single reason why it's there. But again, I just see the grip on the rope from people slowly getting loosened, and that's been fun to see.
That's the good thing about Andrew Allegretta, the voice of Vanderbilt football, joins us. That's the good thing about the portal, because you wouldn't have Diego Pavia
Correct.
Here. So you take advantage of opportunities, and they took advantage, but so did Diego.
Yeah. The portal has, I thought we were talking football. We started off this.
I know.
I'm okay with all of this stuff because it's opportunities. I mean, I want guardrails and all of that sort of stuff. But yeah, for Vanderbilt, you're gonna have the chances to build things in a way that you weren't going to be able to do it before. I mean, I think the offensive line that we're gonna have this season is gonna be one of Clark's best. And it's augmented exclusively through the portal. I think the cornerback room that we've got this year is going to be really good. And it's been helped out by Jordan Matthews coming from Tennessee through the portal. It's helped out by a couple of guys that couldn't play last year, Jones and Davis, because of injury, that are in from the portal. That's fine. I think we're at a point where you want to be able to just put together a program that you're proud of. And whatever way you're doing that, as long as you're doing it above board.
Yeah.
I mean, the portal's board now. It is.
Right.
It is board. So we're doing it.
Yeah. Not boring.
But no, that's great. You can grab all the 4- and 5-star guys you want, but if you don't have a cohesiveness and have a team and have a coach,
doesn't matter.
I mean,
the Miami Hurricanes have been doing that song and dance for years.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good point. An incredible roster that will pop and then they'll be a dud firework the next week. So, yeah, you still need to have the right pieces. I asked Coach Corbin last year when the football team was kind of moving along a little bit. I was like, do you believe in the cliche, like you got to have the right people in the right seat on the bus? Like, it's a boring metaphor, but he goes, oh, yeah, I believe it. And you can finally see that the right pieces, the right coach, the right coordinator, the right quarterback, all this sort of stuff, they're in the right seats in the bus. Does it mean that Vanderbilt's going to go win 9 football games or 10 football games this year, whatever it is?
Yeah.
But you got people that are going to go out swinging every Saturday.
No, you should. It's funny. We talked to a coach before we went on this morning about Texas and LSU and Alabama, and then I was like, does it matter? Yeah. You don't beat Charleston Southern.
No.
I mean, that's the most important game in Vanderbilt football history right now, Charleston Southern.
It is. It sure is. I mean,
it's game number one.
100%. And then it will be Virginia Tech, and then it'll be, I mean, you'll just chug down the road.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that I don't want to speak for the players, but clearly the dots weren't all connected for Georgia State last year. And it was what it was. So, I mean, and I think you've got a quarterback this year that is super focused and a coach that is super focused and a team that is overall pretty darn talented that we'll see where it goes, but, you know, they stay locked in, take care of their business. I have no idea how many games they're going to win this year.
Sure.
None. But, like, every Saturday should be fun for us. Like, I'm not going into Saturdays going, I don't know about that one. I mean, even the going back to Bama is going to be, holy smokes, Brian Denny is going to be absolutely chomping at the bit for us. That'll be a ton of fun.
That's Saban Field at Bryant Denny.
Yeah, excuse me.
Come on now.
Uh-huh.
Andrew Allegretta is with us, voice of the Commodores. What's interesting is when Diego was on earlier, I made the joke, if you keep receipts, right? And he's right. Like, oh, yeah, I got receipts. I think the coach does too. He's not going to be as flamboyant about it. He kind of reminds me, and I know how close they are, he reminds me of Coach Corbin in that, you know, he's gonna kind of be stoic and keep it straight-laced. But you can tell in the back of their mind of like, okay, I remember what was said. I remember what happened. Like, we'll take care of it.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that. Do you think he keeps physical receipts? Because some guys do. Like,
I think they're more mental.
Okay.
But I mean, I think it's kind of like, and it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. And Corbs does this too. He keeps those for his own guys.
Yeah.
Like looking at mistakes that they made, things that they did wrong.
Yeah.
Things he did wrong, and needs to work on. But then he kind of looks on. Oh, somebody said this or somebody said that, because you know this. I mean, anyone that says, like, I don't pay attention to that, I don't believe that. Like, I 100% don't believe that. I think it's a human thing.
It's a human thing. I think you can't avoid that stuff at this point in 2025
If somebody on Twitter says, I suck, you can ask him. It bugs me.
Yeah,
like, it does. it really does.
Should we get him some help or something like that?
I don't know. Something.
I mean, we're the 180. I mean, it bugs him, and I'm ready to fight. I mean, I don't care. I get it, man.
I think it's a good thing, and you know, to kind of have that, like, all right, we'll see. Let me show.
Interesting.
You.
I've never processed Clark as a receipts kind of guy. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
He is. he is obsessed with what he's doing in the best possible way.
Right.
That's how I process him as a football coach who knows every detail of every play, the things that he mostly wishes he did differently with his team from a season ago. One of the most successful seasons, obviously, that we've had in quite some time, and I'm sure he could go through the things that he didn't like. And I honestly think to an extent he talks a lot about celebrating things as kind of a reminder for himself to not forget all of the things that he's been able to and the program has been able to accomplish in the past 24-plus months.
Oh, yeah. Do you think he's glad to be away from Brian Kelly? Because I would.
Andrew's like, I'm not going to touch that.
And that fake accent, I'd be happy to be away from Brian Kelly. Because Clark would probably be the Notre Dame head coach if he'd stayed.
I know. It's a great question. Maybe. It's possible. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think he respects Coach Kelly a lot for helping him become the coach that he is.
Yeah.
I think I asked him about this, and I don't want to misquote Clark. I think there's special situations. Perhaps it was red zone. Perhaps it was fourth downs. I can't quite remember, so don't quote me exactly. But special situations that a lot of what Vanderbilt does is derived from Clark spending time with Coach Kelly. So there's a lot of football in what we do from Coach Kelly and from Notre Dame.
100%.
How's that?
I'm just telling you. I mean, when I was telling Chase, we were laughing earlier, when Brian Kelly's at the podium, everybody was a collective, ugh, about that guy. We were laughing. I'm like, yeah. And to me, Clark is a 180 of Brian Kelly. To me, he's a complete 180 of Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly is full of a lot of things. I don't think Clark Lee is.
No, Clark Lee is very genuine.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have felt that from day one. I mean, I've done obviously every single game of his tenure except for one, the bowl game, because of the birth of my daughter. But from the first time I remember sitting down with him, he has always seemed, like I said before, as a person that had a really good sense of self, and that includes the ways in which he doesn't like the way things are going, and he's going to fix and change and whatever. He has always seemed very, very, this is who I am, and this is how I want to proceed with this job. And if it works out, then I'm okay with that, but I'm not going to contort and bend into, you know, morality ways that I don't want to do it. I'm going to do it the way that Clark Lee believes it should be done.
100%. He is Andrew Allegretta, the voice of the Commodores. It's right around the corner, my man.
I'm fired up. I can't wait.
Commodore Hour.
I know.
We have all these fun things.
I know.
Door Jam coming up. I mean, it's almost here.
It was an incredible season last year for Vanderbilt football and for a lot of the other sports, too. I mean, truly, from basketball to baseball, despite the way that baseball finished, which was a real punch in the jaw for a lot of us. So I'm really hoping that we can keep this going. The football team should be really compelling to watch. And the margins were so thin last year. They were so thin. Whatever it was in the all-access that we put up was, you know, most of our games, like the average margin of victory was 4, and the average margin of defeat was like 3.
Oh.
So
yeah, said 8-1 possession games.
Yeah, it was a ton. It was a ton. Oof. So it could be really, really compelling to see every which way that this season goes.
Hey, where's your Birmingham Bowl ring?
I flashed this really fancy.
We want that top, by the way, if you don't mind. If you can see on the stream, I mean, the old
it's a nice. Oh, this helmet is really good.
Yeah,
they put it on a lot of the gear last year.
I like that.
Yeah, that one's good.
The old school looking.
Love
helmet.
It, man. I love the positivity. I love the energy. Again, it's nothing like we've seen in a long time at Vanderbilt.
When is the last time it felt like this?
2012.
Sure.
After Franklin's second year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would say then.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
And I mean,
that's 13 years.
There have been moments like when in 05, when Cutler, when they went up and beat Tennessee in Knoxville for the first time in my life.
2008 must have been a good season to watch. I think there was a top 25 matchup at home against Auburn that season, and they went to the
game
bowl
day
game.
Came.
Yeah.
Game day
for the
was
first
here.
Time.
Yeah. That was good. Franklin, 11, 12, 13 was good with Frank. 12 was good because you come off a victory, the Music City Bowl over North Carolina State. You had a lot of momentum going into 13, and felt good.
You want a fact before I have to get out of here?
Sure,
I assume we're probably up against a break at some point.
Yeah,
here.
You're good.
Clark Lee has played more games as a ranked team than James Franklin did.
Oh, wow.
James Franklin played one.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
One, I played one game. I think the bowl game. I think there were two ranked teams.
Yeah.
I also might be misstating that.
I think you're right, though. That seems right.
That Franklin also may never have actually played a game as a ranked team. He only played. It was either one or zero, and Clark has played two games as a ranked team.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're all like, you know, puffing our chest out at things, but that is.
We can't stand James Franklin. I cannot stand James.
That's
Franklin.
That's not a knock at James Franklin. It's just recognizing what Clark has been able to do.
You know, coming up next, Big Joe's going to do his list of people he can't stand. That will take the rest of the week here.
You know it too. I'm here. Let me tell you real quick. I know we're at the break, and I don't, for one second, when he left here, he blocked all the media members, right? Franklin did. Blocked all of us. Did he block you? He might not have blocked
like on
you.
No, social?
I didn't matter enough yet.
Yeah, on Twitter. Blocked all of us, right? So then in 2016, I get an alert that I'm unblocked by James Franklin. And so I reach out to his DFO, and I said, hey, man, what's going on? He said, oh, coach, we'll see how you're doing. You know why? I was an AP top 25 voter. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I've never met the guy.
Well, you've missed nothing.
It's a treat.
Yep. So the cookies are around the corner.
Yes, the cookies are around the corner.
Yes.
Andrew, thank you.
Thanks,
always
buddy.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it. And we look forward to your calls coming up this fall.
Thanks.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Commodores, joining us here on the program. More from SEC Media Days next, 102.5 The Game.